Welcome to I'm Obsessed With This, the Netflix podcast about the shows and films viewers cannot get enough of, sort of like how Ryan Murphy cannot get enough of literally anything. And today I'm joined in the studio by Anita Flores, comedian and host of the podcast I'm Listening, currently in its third season, where she explores different themes and pivotal moments from the show, Frasier, with a new guest each episode. Hello, Anita.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here. Truly.
You're in the studio with me. Sometimes we have LA people, and I can't look at them.
Oh, so you're just listening. Like, oh, yeah.
I'm listening.
You're just listening. I'm listening. Yeah. So you're more like Frasier.
I guess I'm a mix between Frasier and Roz, which is a good mix to be.
Right, you have to be your own Roz.
I'm not Bulldog.
Oh, thank goodness.
There's no Bulldog in me.
Nobody should be Bulldog in this day and age.
Who are you?
Who am I? Ugh, I've been asked this question a lot, and it used to be simple, but not it isn't now. It's I would say I'm a combination. I think all people are not just one TV character. I think we're all mixes. Mm-hmm. I would say I'm the anxiety of Niles, but sometimes the sarcasm and smoky voice of Roz, mm-hmm. and the ego of Frasier, depending on the time of year. Right now, I'd say I have the ego of Frasier because I am promoting season 3 of my podcast. I'm listening to Frasier. Your fan podcast.
Mm-hmm. I saw Rachel Bloom was on a recent episode.
Yes, that was awesome. She was super fun, and I didn't even know she was a Frasier fan until somebody who listens to my podcast told me I should reach out to her because she's a Frasier fan podcast, or she's a Frasier fan, and they were correct. And then I looked at her like public Facebook profile, her fan page on Netflix, and it says like under her interests watching Frasier. I was like, I never would have known this.
So fortunately, which like didn't even, this was not planned. You were like, I want to talk about The Politician.
Correct.
Which, surprising, because I wouldn't have watched The Politician without you saying that.
Right.
But we'll get into that later.
Yes.
You just happened to host a show about another show on Netflix.
I know. What are the odds?
Is that why you started watching Frasier? Or have you always loved Frasier? Where is your relationship with Frasier? Where did it begin? And how did it evolve?
Frasier, for me, started a long time ago, and I, you know, when it was on, and I'm not going to pretend as a, however old I was in 1994, mm-hmm. when I started watching it, I'm not going to pretend I was watching it as a child because of the great writing. In my case, it was, I didn't have cable, so I watched a lot of network TV, mm-hmm. very into the must-see TV NBC lineup of the mid to late 90s, early mm-hmm. aughts. So in that period of time, you've got Frasier, I think Wings was in there at some point, Friends, of course, Seinfeld, of course. So it started then. It started in real time, Frasier. Then we moved into, as I got older, syndication. So I'm catching it, you know, when I'm home or if I'm at school at, you know, 10:30, 11 p.m. in reruns. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say it really changed when it ended up on Netflix. Yeah. Because it ends up as a companion piece to your life, I think. When it's like, I can't be the only one. I think that's why people are so into rewatching Friends.
Friends, yeah.
Because for one thing, we're talking 10, 11 seasons of mm-hmm. content, you know, 20 to 24 episodes a season. That's going to last you a while. Mm-hmm. You don't have to save them anymore. You can just play them when you're taking a shower or eating breakfast. And I'm a freelancer, so it's like, yeah, I can just keep it going.
All day long,
baby. And so, yeah, it's definitely gone from this show that I watched as it was on, and now it's a companion piece to my life.
What do you want from the hypothetical reboot? Not all the cast is alive.
That's true.
Most of them are.
Yes, most of them are, though it's definitely, it's sad, I will mm-hmm. say. I think it'll be definitely very different not having, especially because Martin Crane, aka, you know, RIP, the great John Mahoney, mm-hmm. was sort of, you know, the heart, the conscience of the characters of the show, with the wise words. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because whatever they do for this, the next iteration, I believe Frasier's character is going to probably be around the same age as Martin Crane's character when it first started. Which is absolutely insane to me to think about. So it's like whatever angle we had with Martin as he was like a bit old and mm-hmm. crotchety and had a cane, although the cane, you know, was from an injury. I'll be interested to see if this new version involves Frasier's son, perhaps, to sort of bring back some of that father and son dynamic.
Yeah.
And I do have... I doubt this is going to be the casting choice, but for some reason I was thinking, you know, what would fit with this day and age? Like, I love... I'm trying to think of the name of the guy from Schitt's Creek who plays the son. Dan Levy.
Oh, Dan Levy.
I think he's so funny and very much a millennial. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of, like, someone like him or a character like that as Freddie, Frasier's son.
Oh, that'd be fun. And I'm sure he would jump at the opportunity to do that.
Sure, like... sure. I mean, I love the idea of perhaps, and I think this might have been partly a Rachel Bloom idea. You know, I'm always paranoid about stealing other people's ideas, especially because I've had so many conversations with people on my show about what they want to see in the reboot. Mm-hmm. But from everything I've heard and even just thought about myself and conversations I've had, the idea of Frasier trying to get used to new technology and perhaps even having left radio and is now trying to get into podcasting seems like a natural progression to
me.
That's
like where my mind goes.
Yeah.
Frasier Crane podcast.
Yeah. I believe the new... what was most recently in the news that Kelsey Grammer said that it's not going to be in Seattle. That's what he said most recently in various articles. So
it's like, that's the show.
It's the
drink coffee.
It's the show. Well, I don't want to ruin you. You don't know how it ends, do you?
I don't.
All right. Well, okay.
Spoil it.
Let's just say it leaves on a cliffhanger of him not in Seattle, leaving Seattle for a different city.
Really?
Taking a chance on love.
Hmm.
Okay. That was just your hint, not ruining it. So I think, you know, that might play a part.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah, yeah.
I should watch all of it, though.
I don't understand why calling that gay man a butt munch was such a scandal. That's what gays do. Munch butts and celebrate Halloween.
But now let's move on to another show.
Yes.
On Netflix. It's an original. It's not a licensed title as Frasier is.
Uh-huh.
But you said, when asked, what are you currently obsessed with on Netflix? You answered The Politician.
Right.
The Politician is a new Ryan Murphy show. It's like the first Ryan Murphy show for his like Netflix deal. So mm-hmm. it was sort of a big deal because Ryan Murphy is moving from, you know, cable television to Netflix.
Right.
Let's see what he does. And mm-hmm. he did this.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into it, pitch The Politician to our listeners. Like, give me like a 60-second pitch. Like, what is this show about? Why should we like it? Why are you so obsessed with it?
Sure. Okay. I mean, do you love decadence? Do you love Wes Anderson films, the decor and the music of Wes Anderson with, you know, a lot of sort of, I don't want to say overacting, but I mean it in a good way. Do you want to see a lot of overacting and, you know, sort of politics mixed with like a soap opera? Then this is the show for you.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's definitely, if you want to watch something that perhaps is technically related to politics, but is super fun, then I think that this is a great show to watch.
So Ben Platt plays a kid named Peyton Hobart. Lives in a very, you know, affluent neighborhood.
Gorgeous.
Goes to a
wealthy.
Nice school. His mom, adoptive parents are Gwyneth Paltrow and Bob Balaban. He's adopted, is from a poor family, now lives in this very rich family. He decides that he wants to be president of his student body, in part because he wants to get into Harvard, but also because he wants to be president of the United States. That's his, like, number one goal.
Right.
So the first season is sort of like his journey towards that goal of being like the first stepping stone to being president, which is being president of your student body class.
Naturally.
Naturally. There's death. There's violence. There's attempted murder. There's Munchausen by proxy.
Oh, yeah.
There's
Jessica Lange.
Jessica Lange. There's kidnapping. There's all sorts of... It's like it's every Ryan Murphy thing.
Sexual fluidity.
Sexual fluidity. I think,
yes.
And I guess that's one way to start. That's a thing unique, not necessarily to Ryan Murphy, but like of recent shows of just like the past couple years, where there's a trans actor playing a man,
mm-hmm.
and then there's just like a lot of people who are, their sexual orientation is just like either unclear, doesn't matter.
Right.
And I think that that's sort of interesting, that the lead character of this show, Ben Platt, is like, he's not gay. He's like queer, I guess, just by definition, but also like the fact that he had sex with this guy doesn't negate the fact that he's in love with this woman.
Right.
And I think it's pretty interesting that that's just allowed to exist in this universe.
It's super interesting. I actually, I was reading an article about the show talking about the what's nice about specifically also The Politician, because I have watched, I think, every episode of American Horror Story except for 1984, because it's not on Netflix. but I will when it comes out. But with The Politician, you know, it was mostly the criticism, or no, the positivity about the show is that, especially in this show, there's not really any main focus, as in, and not even just about sexual fluidity, but even just about different kinds of diversity on the show. Like the principal of the school is a Black deaf woman. There's a great actor who is really in love with one of the characters who quote unquote has cancer. I don't want to ruin anything.
Oh, feel free to ruin.
Okay.
Oh yeah, let's ruin it.
The girl who doesn't know that she doesn't have cancer. There's a guy with cerebral palsy, or a great actor whose name I can't remember right now, who's on the show. There's a trans actor who plays like sort of like Peyton's right hand person. But the point being, like, they're just all in the universe, and unlike other shows that I've watched, or even like a plot to, you know, an episode of a show in the 90s, for example, I'll just mention one example. I have an episode coming out of my podcast about least favorite episodes of Frasier, which I'm allowed to, because you can love something and you can also criticize it. But there's an episode called There's Something About Dr. Mary, where Frasier has some issues with this other radio host who happens to be Black, and a lot of the show talks about just him being uncomfortable with the fact that he's uncomfortable with her but feels like he can't say anything because she's Black. And the way that it's handled is very cringeworthy. But the point is, on The Politician, I feel like, you know, again, there's a lot of diversity on the show and it's there, but it's not necessarily the focus, if that makes sense. Yeah. Nobody's got to like be there and explain themselves. It's just, yes, this is the world that we're living in, and that's it.
Yeah, I think
which I really like.
That's one of the things I think is most admirable about the show.
Yeah.
Just because, like, it's, I don't know, it's awareness. It's like sort of quiet awareness. And
exactly,
like,
yeah,
the way that it just allows these things to be and it doesn't question anything.
Right.
Which I just found like pretty progressive and cool.
Yeah.
Even if I thought the show was like all so much in every other way.
Sure.
It was like, it's almost like, of course, like why are we bothering like dealing with anyone's sexuality or like gender identity when like all of this crazy shit is happening constantly in the universe of this show.
Yeah.
Which involves like, I don't know, just not debauchery, but just like conniving and terrible scandalous stuff that people do in the name of like advancing their political career.
Sure.
How did you watch this? Like, in what context did you watch this show? Like, just at home really quickly, like over the span of a few weeks? How did you ingest it?
So I ingested it over, I watched the pilot like on a weeknight at home comfortably, and then I was traveling over the weekend via Greyhound bus. And if you haven't been on a Greyhound bus, it's very motel on wheels. And it's funny because there is specific like mention of, like, there's a character on the show who at one point runs away from home and like kind of has a fun time pretending to not be rich, and part of this involves her taking the bus. And it was funny because I watched the majority on the show while I was on a Greyhound bus, which I think added a level to it, you know, because the whole show is all about, I mean, a lot of it has to do with, you know, privilege and decadence and wealth. So I think that that was a really good backdrop for me to watch the majority of it. And then I think I watched the final episode in the comfort of my own home.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that that definitely played a part, the different places I watched it. I would love to mention one thing, I think, as a former psych major, failed former psych major.
Failed what?
I might mention.
Failed former psych major? You just were like, I don't want to do this anymore?
Correct. Okay. I was a psych major for 2 years. And then once I got into the math and science part, I was like, I'm not very good at math. And science, it's all right. But again, I was not a great student.
For that reason, I'm out.
For that reason, I'm out. But one thing that we had to do in my abnormal psych class was watch like a movie and diagnose a character with a mental illness. I believe I was assigned to Sophie's Choice. That was fun.
Okay. Oh,
it's in the Holocaust genre. Let's just say that. So that was interesting. But so often when I watch shows, especially about characters who seem like they might be like a psychopath, mm-hmm. I get so obsessed with that. And so I was immediately from the first episode, I was like, all right, is he a psychopath?
Yeah.
The main character. And from what it seems like, he's choosing between being a psychopath and being a normal person. And like, especially in the last episode, he even addresses it and is like, I can't feel things when I'm in politics. When I'm out of politics, I can feel things. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of mixed emotions in that final episode, especially because this woman that, you know, who's supposed to be his first lady runs out on her wedding, mm-hmm. which was so interesting. And she even addresses the fact in a conversation with him that being in this relationship with you was never healthy for me, which is true. Mm-hmm. Because from what I could tell, he was never really supporting her. It was always, yeah. I will do anything for you. And that's just the way our relationship is, which is, of course, why I think he loved her. Yeah. For that reason, she was there to serve. Mm-hmm. So then it was really interesting to see her completely abandon Thad. Was that his name?
Thad, I think. Thad. The nice guy. She was like, the nicest guy I've ever met.
Yeah. Thad, the nicest guy she's ever met, on her wedding day to go and be a part of this campaign.
You didn't walk out on your own wedding to be here, did you?
That's a separate conversation, but yes, I did. We're all willing to put our lives on hold here.
Wow. That's, I mean, thank you.
I went into the show without reading anything about it, which mm-hmm. I was glad to do. But I thought it was going to be like American Crime Story and that it was just like
a different politician every time. Yeah.
Right. Or this was just a one season thing. Mm-hmm. And so then it went off, you know, the last episode is not whether or not he becomes president at his school, but like, you know, going off into this different storyline was mm-hmm. really interesting and unexpected.
Mm-hmm. I really loved it. I'll go back to that final episode in a second because it's my favorite episode. But what did we think about? I want to talk about other characters, other actors in this show, because the thing about The Politician is that like Ryan Murphy comes with baggage, right? Like Ryan Murphy comes with like his long career doing multiple different types of genres and then like throwing all the genres in a blender and doing things that sort of are rule breaking in a way and like controversial or whatever. Yeah. But he also has his cast of characters that like he brings along with him.
Uh-huh.
Like Brad Falchuk, who is the co-creator of this show, who's Gwyneth Paltrow's husband and like directed some episodes, wrote some episodes. And then his cast, like Jessica Lange, is in so many of his American Horror Story shows. You've watched other Ryan Murphy shows, like
I have.
Do you like this little universe that he's assembled? Like, is that comforting to you? Is that part of the reason you liked it?
I mean, as a huge horror movie fan, it was insisted that I need to watch American Horror Story because I hadn't, and I loved it. It was great, especially because, like, for me, the thought of being terrified all the time is, like, kind of exhausting. So I like that he... like Ryan Murphy in the Ryan Murphy universe, it was like, all right, let's be scary, but let's also soap opera. Mm-hmm. That's sort of what it feels like. Even, and I watched American Crime Story, the O.J. Simpson trial, and that also kind of felt like, even though this was chronicling something that actually happened, it was always heightened. That's how it always feels in his universe. And I think once you're okay with that, I think it depends on who you are as a TV watcher, but I think you do have to accept the fact that it is a heightened world that you're living in Ryan Murphy's world. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and I think that a good example of that is the Jessica Lange character, like Dusty and Infinity.
Yes.
But the Jessica Lange and Zoe Deutsch characters, it's like this grandmother is making her granddaughter sick for her own like personal gain, but also because she has a problem and like this is what she does and she like needs to be a caretaker or, you know, she needs to be responsible for this person. But that, even down to the Ricardo storyline where Infinity gets a boyfriend, mm-hmm. Have you seen Mommy, Dead and Dearest?
I haven't.
Or it's a documentary that they turned into a Hulu show.
With Patricia Arquette.
But that is a true story about like a mother who did this to her daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real Munchausen by proxy. It's a real thing that happens.
Right. But sharp objects.
Sharp objects. Yeah.
Ooh, I've seen that.
Munchausen by proxy. Very, very trendy.
Yes. Very trendy.
But it's wild to see him insert these things that are so topical and real and dark and tragic, and then he makes them funny and twisted.
Sure.
And part of it is like, do I even like this? Like, is this is making me uncomfortable? But, and then now, then she's singing. I was like, what is this genre? Because it's sort of true crimey, yeah. But then it's like fully just a bizarre comedy, like dark comedy.
Yeah.
And then it's occasionally a musical.
There's like, some singing. Yeah.
How would you classify this to the uninitiated? Like, is this a comedy, drama, black comedy? Like, what is this to you?
I would say it's a dark drum-com. It's definitely dark, but I would say overall funny.
Yeah.
Definitely funny. I think one of my favorite exchanges in the show happens when Infinity has realized that what her grandmother is doing to her. She mm-hmm. moves into a hotel room, and then Jessica Lange comes and tries to, like, you know, talk her down or whatever, and she's coming in with the blackmailer, the threats, and she's like something like, she's like, I want to go where Ratatouille happened or something. I want to go to the restaurant where Ratatouille happened, and she's like, rats don't cook or something. I thought that was so funny.
I want an all expenses paid senior trip to Paris, Nana. Unlimited funds. I want to do Paris right. Freedom is what I need. Right now, I want to go to the restaurant in Ratatouille, the one where the rat cooks.
That's an animated film, Infinity. Rats don't actually work there.
That was definitely one of my favorite things, because it's absolutely super dark, that especially when you find out that she has murdered her daughter. Mm-hmm. She is responsible for her daughter's death, which isn't necessarily something that I thought I could move past and be like, okay. But you kind of have to,
yeah.
Just because it's one thing after another mm-hmm. with every episode.
You had mentioned, like, the overacting in this.
Yes.
You were calling it out as a positive comment.
Yes.
And I think that the Ryan Murphy, if you're not used to a Ryan Murphy show, this show's going to, like, completely fuck you up.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like, absolutely. What is happening? But if you're watching the American Horror Story, if you've watched even the O.J. Simpson show, is more straightforward as a drama, but, like, you can sort of get a sense of what his sensibilities are in that show.
Absolutely.
But it's like, in this, you need people to act, like, overact and act theatrically and
yes.
sort of overdo it, because you need that heightened stuff to get over the fact that, like, this is really dark.
Exactly.
There are some questions that are not answered.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, you just have to move past it. Like, you need these people to yell at you.
I think a great example of that is even just the end of the first episode when Ben's sometimes lover/Mandarin tutor commits suicide. Mm-hmm. That is, oh, my God. I mean, after I saw the episode, it doesn't even happen. Does it happen at the end of the episode?
It happens, like, if not
the middle.
I think maybe in the middle, and then it's like 18 months earlier or something.
Yeah, and it's so dark, and I think it really, like, I'm going to throw in another Netflix original show as the opposite of this mm-hmm. that I also love, which is Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, yeah.
Haunting of Hill House, I absolutely loved, because I think another trendy thing that's happening is in horror, especially you've got The Witch, you've got Hereditary, Midsommar, is this idea of mixing horror with trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And in Haunting of Hill House, you're taking a story of a haunted house, but going back and forth in time and really exploring the haunted house and the trauma that the hauntings and the ghosts have mm-hmm. left as a scar on these characters. That is not what's going on in The Politician. I mean, you take what's happening with Peyton and the fact that he has seen somebody he loved murdered. You know, you'd really think that would be it for him mm-hmm. in terms of, like, I need to go to therapy. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to go down a dark hole. But instead, he continues on with his candidacy.
This, like, war path, yeah.
And I absolutely agree with you. You want to move on, you need to watch. If you're going to move on with the terrible things that happen, you've got to watch the characters yeah. also move on.
I wasn't looking forward to watching this show.
Right.
Because Ryan Murphy's very hit or miss with me.
Okay.
And especially, and I think this will lead us towards the final episode, but I'm, like, kind of sick of teen shows. Like, I can't mm-hmm. really do a teen show.
Sure.
It's tough. I did Elite, which I actually really liked.
Oh, again, yeah. I watched
Elite. Elite is very, like, crazy.
It's
like,
nuts.
That's fun.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not a huge Riverdale person.
Sure.
I'm not a huge... I didn't watch Gossip Girl.
Sure, sure. Sexy teens.
I'm just like, whatever. And,
well, they're not actually teens, everybody.
Yeah.
I think we know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this show, I think one of the main things that left me sort of hanging was the fact that it was about a high school election, and I was like, oh, more teens who are acting like adults,
right.
like rich teens getting into trouble and acting like 25-year-olds. This is not appealing to me. And I think the moment that I was like, okay, I like this, is I mean, I enjoyed the whole season, but that final episode when you realize, oh, this whole first season is really just a setup for a show about, like, adults.
Yeah.
When it skips forward, right. He's in college, you've, like, Jessica Lange's out of there, the kids are out of there,
mm-hmm.
They're adults, they're making adult decisions. And then there's, like, that sweet scene with Gwyneth Paltrow, like, leaving to go on her thing.
I loved
and I was like,
that.
Like, I like the Gwyneth Paltrow stuff. I like the Bob Balaban stuff. I didn't love the high school stuff. And now at the end, he wants to run for Senate against Judith Light, and who was secretly in a throuple, and her campaign manager's Bette Midler. I was like, this is the show I want. You know, like.
Absolutely.
And this is a show that apparently we're going to get, because I think the second season is happening.
Oh, but that makes, like, sense, yeah.
But I was just like, okay, I like this show when it's about adults.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that the kid thing kind of makes it unappealing to me. And just to listeners, like, if it seems unappealing to you because it's another teen show, it really kind of isn't. Because it was just sort of a stepping stone for a show about a politician.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand where you're coming from not wanting to get into what I call the sexy teen genre, because not only are they not in high school, but, you know, when I'm thinking of all the shows that you just mentioned, it's like they do not mirror my experience in the slightest.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention just, and I say this speaking from experience, just how disgusting everyone is at that age. I mean, nobody's got clear skin, mm-hmm. and everyone's, you know, still growing, and their voices are terrible. And it's like, none of that matches up. And oh, and everyone's very sexually awkward. And if they're sexually active, it's not going as smoothly as it is,
yeah.
on all of these shows. So I can understand where you're coming from. I just want to comment on one thing you mentioned, which was it's an easy show, especially with how pretty it is, and they're all rich. Another thing that I also liked about all of this is everyone, to me, seeming how I felt, mm-hmm. nobody seems and comments actively on the fact that a lot of these people are very unhappy,
mm-hmm.
these very wealthy people, which is so comforting to watch.
Oh, yeah.
If you are a person who does not live in a mansion, who's watching yeah. it on a Greyhound bus, you're mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm on a Greyhound bus, but you know what? I've got goals. I've got, you know, things that I want to do. I don't mm-hmm. have all the money yet, and it's something I'm working towards.
Yeah. Like, Gwyneth Paltrow is miserable in her house.
Oh,
her husband's
so miserable.
Those twin boys are
I
awful.
Hate them.
Everyone is miserable in this show, and I think that is sort of comforting in a way.
In a way.
It's not aspirational. Like,
no.
You don't want to be any of these people.
Also, quick thing. Did you notice, directed by, I don't remember which episode,
oh,
Helen Hunt?
Yeah.
What? What?
She's got this little prolific directing career happening with her, like, post-Mad About You life.
Which I just saw a sign for on the subway. There is another
Spectrum original.
A Spectrum original, yes, for perhaps the people that love to watch Mad About You, if I'm being honest.
Another show that I didn't watch, I was like, I don't even think my parents watched Mad About You. I was like, what is this? No thanks. But I'm sort of intrigued by Mad About You.
Yeah, like, I could sing the whole song right now, and
I could
that's
do the
what's
song
weird.
And that's it.
Yeah, I know, it's really
I don't
odd.
Even know what their jobs were. Like, I don't know what they did.
I know they lived in an apartment.
They had an apartment, and, like, they had neighbors.
Ira. I know, okay. Who I always used to think was the Jeremy Piven, but it's not. It's a different bald man.
Mm-hmm. You're excited for season two, right?
Oh, yeah. Heck yes.
I mean, I had no idea they were in it. And so suddenly the final...
Judith Light? I was like, what?
Half
and then
that...
next shot, yeah. Bette Midler? I was like, huh?
Half of that final episode is just Judith Light and Bette Midler. And I was like, where am I? Where have they been for the past 7 episodes?
For a second, I was also confused because I should have known, because they already say it's 3 years in the future. But then mm-hmm. I was like, is this going to be another twist where it's actually 50 years in the future and Judith Light is actually, like, Zoe Deutsch's character
yeah.
or something? Like, and then when she walks in and she's going to talk to this senator, I was like, is that going to be Peyton? Like,
mm-hmm.
And then I realized that wasn't the case. But I'm excited just to even see, like, I think my favorite Bette Midler scene was when she tells off her new staffer who I can't remember her name, but basically, like, puts her in her place.
Oh, McAfee or McAfee?
Yeah, love to see that.
What does she say? She's like...
What's your name?
McAfee Westbrook.
Oh, your first name is the last name? I hate that.
I didn't name myself.
You know what? I just had my first grandson. You know what they named him? Jagger. I was holding him in my arms when they told me. I nearly threw him out the window. I didn't, of course. That would be a heinous crime. What do you think you're doing barging in here like this?
I'm not used to seeing Bette Midler in things anymore.
Same,
so, like,
yeah.
Anytime, like, someone comes back and they not only come back, they're just, like, immediately funny.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
on.
I love this. This is great.
Absolutely.
They seem, there was something about it where they seemed excited to be in the show.
For sure. You know? Hey, and I also love, you know, I'm in my 30s now, so the more people I see that are older and having active, exciting sex lives, I'm like, I have something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. She's in a throuple. Mm-hmm. I fully support that.
Well, thank you, Anita, for being here.
Thank you.
This was so much
fun. What a pleasure.
You can all watch The Politician and Frasier on Netflix right now. And season 2 when it happens. And also a lot of the American Horror Stories are up there. What else is there that we talked
is
about?
Is the OJ story on there?
Did Maybe.
You
is. We were talking about you before we recorded. And you comes back in December.
So good. December 26th. I am doing, I work for the show. They don't know it yet, but yes.
December 26th. Penn Badgley will try to kill again.
I just think what a great day. The day after Christmas. That's what you're going to do. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was an absolute pleasure.
This was delightful. You can also subscribe to I'm Listening wherever you get this podcast.
Yes.
It's available now. What's the next episode about?
The next episode is about the worst episodes of Frasier.
Which are probably going to be a fun one.
It's going to be a fun one.
Okay. Well, bye.
Bye.